Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, everybody's Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Basis for the message I believe the Lord has put on my heart to share with you this morning is from Mark chapter 5, where it goes like this. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. And these are the words of our Lord. My brothers and sisters in Christ, members of Christ Lutheran Church, there's no place like home, right? That's what Dorothy said, right? In The Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home. And of course, Dorothy was referring to her home state of Kansas. There's no place like home. And Dorothy is right. You know, my parents no longer live in the home that I grew up in southeastern Wisconsin, a little bit north of Milwaukee. I think it was 3 years ago they actually moved to this area. They now live in Onalaska. There's a kind of a senior living place pretty much right across from St. Paul's Lutheran Church. My younger brother, James Jimmy, we all call him Boris. He's a teacher at Luther High School. And so mom and dad moved to be closer to Jim and his family. But every now and then, for various reasons, I'll be traveling in southeastern Wisconsin. And if I'm anywhere near my parents' house that I grew up in, I go out of my way, you know, and I drive by. It's kind of creepy. I drive by real slow. And I'm so tempted to drive in the driveway one day and just knock on the door. And, you know, I could just picture Dad sitting, you know, in his favorite chair, and Mom, whatever, apron on, you know, baking something in the kitchen. There is no place like home. And maybe as I'm beginning my sermon this way, if you're thinking about the home that you grew up in, you know, and you've got pleasant memories of it, that's wonderful. There is no place like home. Since 2016, I've been privileged to be part of the Wells Board for Home Missions. And there's no place like home, right? And the purpose, the calling of Wells Home Missions is to plant and nurture mission congregations in North America. And right now, we've got about 141 missions in our synod, so roughly one out of every 10 congregations is a mission congregation. And the fields are ripe for the harvest. You know, we have 6 missions in the Western Wisconsin district, and we're finding pretty consistently about every community, almost 60% of the people are not connected to a church or to faith group, so the fields are ripe for the harvest. And this summer, we're beginning a new initiative. You've heard about it, 100 missions over the next 10 years. And I think you've seen this brochure. Pastor Riediger said there have been some floating around. I put a stack of them on the table out there. It was produced recently by Home Missions, and it kind of lays out all the steps and the timeline for planting and creating a home mission. And as you can maybe imagine, there's a lot of work involved with starting a new mission. There are a number of steps, and it takes a number of years, and sometimes it's messy, you know, and sometimes, you know, you take one step forward and you end up taking 3 steps backward, right? The church on earth, we say, is militant, right? And the word militant is related to the word military, and even mission congregations sometimes struggle to be established. But I absolutely love the work of Wells Home Missions, and I'm honored today to be here to help you celebrate your mission festival. There's no place like home. And as we now turn our attention to the text for the sermon, knowing that it can be hard work and messy and complicated to establish a home mission church, did you notice how really simple Jesus says it is? All he says in our text is, he says, go. He says, go home, right? There's no place like home. Go home to your family. And so we go, right? And we go thankful. We go compelled by mercy. We remember who we once were and who we've now become because of grace, because of mercy. And we go and we hear, you know, there's no pressure, right? The Lord, you know, is not looking for you to preach a 25-minute sermon with a theme and nifty parts. He says, just go and tell others what the Lord has done for you. And then, you know, after we go and we do our part, you know, we tell others what the Lord has done for us, then we sit back and we look to the Holy Spirit to bless our words and build His kingdom to the glory of our Savior. There's really no place like home. It's not that difficult, people. Just go. Now, the words of our text would take us back to fairly early in Jesus' ministry, and Jesus was walking the talk, right? He was practicing what He preached, right? He commands His disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, and that's what Jesus was doing before our text. He was on a mission trip. He was out on a journey to do evangelism, and He was going to an area that He had never been to before. It was this region east of the Sea of Galilee. And why would Jesus go there? Well, when you do mission work in evangelism, there aren't that many things that are absolutely required, but you always need an audience for your message. And in this area, there was an audience. It was pretty heavily populated. And so living in this region were Jews, right? There were descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And of course, they knew about the true and the living God who had promised one day to send them a Savior from their sins. But in addition, in this region, there were non-Jews living, right? Gentiles. And these people did not know about the true God. They did not know about a Savior who had been promised. Many of these people were, you know, worshiping idols and false gods, and so they were very much on the highway leading to hell. And so the Lord is on a mission trip. Now, right before our text, something pretty significant happened, which you need to be aware of to appreciate our text, that there was a man who was possessed by demons. In fact, he told Jesus, "I am legion," right? And in a Roman army, a legion was a unit of 5, even 6,000 soldiers. So get this, right? There are as many as 6,000 demons that had taken over and possessed, and they were living inside this man. Can you imagine what that must have been like? And right before our text, the Lord had mercy on this man. And He flexed His divine muscle, and all Jesus had to do was say the word, and these demons were not going to mess around with Jesus. They submitted to Him, and they left this man just like that. And nearby, there was a herd of pigs. And these demons, they entered into the pigs, and the pigs went bonkers, and they took off running, and they jumped off a cliff. And they landed in the Sea of Galilee, and I guess pigs don't exactly swim like ducks. I mean, they sank like lead to the bottom of the lake, and they drowned. Well, this was a bad day of farming for those poor farmers, right? They took a significant financial loss, and so they were pretty upset about this, you know, losing all their pigs. And then the other people in the region, you know, they just failed to see, you know, Jesus' divine authority, and that by driving these demons out of the pigs, out of that man, Jesus was revealing that he was God's son and the promised Savior, but they completely missed it. And nobody wanted anything to do with Jesus. I mean, they rejected him big time, and they were forcing him to leave. And that's very much where our text picks up, right? The Lord will never force himself on anyone. Fine, your will be done. And Mark tells us he's getting into the boat. But then the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, right? The man wanted to become a world missionary, right? And wherever you go, Jesus, talk about being a Debbie Downer. I mean, Jesus completely rained on this guy's parade. It says he did not let him, but Jesus said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the Lord was calling this man not to be a world missionary. I want you to become a home missionary. And go home to your family and just tell them how the Lord has had mercy on you. So that was the man's calling, and he didn't have to be told twice, right? He had plenty of motivation, right? The mercy of the Lord that he had experienced. And so he went away, and Mark says he began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. And you know, sometime later, the end of Mark chapter 6, and you can read this on your own, Jesus actually returned to this region, right? Remember, now he's been forced to leave. He's been completely rejected, right? And so he left, and he came back at the end of Mark chapter 6, and he was welcomed like he was some rock star. And the people received him enthusiastically, and they brought their sick and their injured people for Jesus to heal them. And you know, how do we explain that complete switch? I'm convinced it's because of this man's testimony. And it says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and water the earth and make it bud and flourish, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, right? And already back then, even, faith comes from hearing the message. And there were many who came to know the love of God in Jesus Christ because of the simple testimony of this man. There is no place like home. So go. And so now we take all of this, right, and we apply this to ourselves. And the grace of the Lord that he has called us to be his witnesses, he has called us to be his ambassadors. You know, we are part of, you know, we call it the universal priesthood of all believers. Someone once said, as many Christians as there are, that's how many priests as there are. And it's not a turned around collar that makes someone a priest. It's a turned around heart. And in the waters of our baptism, most of us were called by the Lord to faith, and then we were called to be His witnesses in the world. And we've got plenty of motivation, don't we? And none of us were maybe at one time possessed by 6,000 demons, but I'm telling you, at one time, Satan owned you and me. And we were dead in unbelief, and there's nothing that we could have done to change our predicament. But what happened? We all received mercy and grace from the Lord. And there's no place like home. And now He commissions us to go and tell others what the Lord has done for us. And doesn't that take the pressure off? Like I said before, you don't have to preach to your neighbors and friends and co-workers a 20-minute sermon with a theme and parts that they're never, ever going to forget. But just tell them what the Lord has done for you. And I'm convinced that every single one of you this morning, you can do that. And you can tell how once upon a time you were hopelessly lost and dead in sin, and God loved you. And how God sent His Son to save you from your sins, and how Jesus lived a perfect life for you and went to the cross and died for your sins and those of the whole world, how He rose again on Easter Sunday to conquer death and open the door to heaven for you, and how all believers, and you can tell how God gave you His Holy Spirit so you could trust in Jesus as your Savior, and know that your sins are forgiven and that one day you'll live forever in heaven. Not one of you here this morning can't do that. There is no place like home. And how God can bless that simple testimony, which is very biblical. And in Psalm 66 we read, "Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what God has done for me." Let me tell you what God has done for me. I think one of the greatest joys of being a pastor, and Pastor Riedeker is my classmate and friend, we go back many, many years, I think he would say the same thing that I am, that one of the joys of being a pastor is that we get to regularly see the power of God's Word working in people's hearts and lives. And, you know, any pastor can bore you with his stories. Can I just share one example? When I was a pastor in Clearwater, Florida, years ago, I met a lady named Helene. She was about 60 years old, and Helene's husband was quite a bit older than her, and he had died, and then both of her parents had died, all like in a one-year span, and Helene had no children, no relatives. She was from New York, living down there near Tampa, and she was just scared and like a fish out of water. And one of my members was Yuda Trotsik, Yavol, Yuda from Estonia. And Yuda invited Helene, you know, come to church. After church, a bunch of us ladies go out for brunch, and you know, we can encourage you. So I met Helene on a Sunday morning, and she told me that she was Jewish, right? And I'm proud to be a Jew. I said, well, that's great, Helene. Welcome. Well, you know, Helene would come every week for worship, and you know, she would sing along with the hymns, and you know, she would listen to my sermon when half of my members were sleeping on me. Helene is listening, you know, as I'm preaching. And I was starting up a Bible information class, and I thought, I'm going to invite Helene to come. And she accepted my invitation. I said, Helene, that's wonderful. You want to become a Christian? And she said, absolutely not. I said, Helene, you're killing me. Why do you want to come to my classes then? She said, because I want to learn what it is that you Christians believe. Fair enough. Well, you maybe can tell where this is going. Lesson 5 was on baptism. And when the class was over, everybody went home. Helene came up to me and she said, Pastor Monkey, everything that you were teaching me about God and about Jesus, I believe that He has saved me from my sins, and I want you to baptize me. And when I still think about Helene, I get tears in my eyes, and I just get goosebumps. And, I am not a dynamic teacher, right? I can put people to sleep from the pulpit and in the classroom, but this was the power of the Holy Spirit working through the words of God. And I want to share that with you to encourage you, right? As the rain and snow come down from heaven and water the earth and make it bud and flourish, so is my word that goes out from my mouth and my words that go out from the mouths of my people. And God blesses that according to His will and to His glory. There is no place like home. I mentioned before I serve on the Synod's Board for Home Missions, and we have 141 missions, and this summer we're beginning a new initiative of 100 missions over the next 10 years as we celebrate being a Synod for 175 years. So we already start about 6 missions a year. Now our goal is to start about 10. If you aim for nothing, you always hit it. So we are excited to have a goal. And again, the harvest fields are ripe for the harvest. And the most effective way to reach the lost is always by personal evangelism. But the second most effective way to reach the lost is by establishing mission congregations, because mission congregations always remember what their focus is. Their purpose is to reach out, and members of mission congregations and core groups and missionary pastors, they understand the importance of relationships, right? You have to build relationships with people. It's like constructing a bridge, and once you make that connection, you build that bridge, then you walk over that bridge and you share with that person the love of God in Jesus Christ. I'd like to encourage you to support the 100 missions over the next 10 years. Support it with your prayers. Prayer is very, very powerful, and pray for God's blessings upon this initiative to His glory and the salvation of many lost people. Support this with your gifts, right? Money is not a means of grace, but we will not apologize that money is a tool that can be used to build the kingdom and help many others learn about their Savior. You can certainly give gifts directly to Wells Home Missions or continue to give generous offerings to your church. And I'm sure every month or so, your treasurer probably sends a portion of your offerings off to our synod, and some of those monies are used to support the ministry of home missions. Thank you for that support. I've talked long enough here. I'm going to wrap it up. But I want to leave you with one final thought. I want you to just imagine that it is Judgment Day. All right? So the Lord has returned. And you know, in Matthew 25, it talks about how all people are gathered, and the sheep, the believers, are on the right, and the goats, the unbelievers, are on the left. Imagine that you're among the sheep. I mean, can you imagine the feelings of joy and relief, right? Maybe you're going to think what I'm going to think. How could an awful sinner like me make it? This is all the grace of God, right? And to know that in a few minutes, you're going to be walking on streets paved with gold, and every tear will be wiped from your eye, and no more pain or sadness or dying or death, that soon you'll be reunited with, you know, parents and grandparents and all be together, and you know, you're just thrilled and amazed and joyful. And then you look over at the other crowd of people, Remember, the road that leads to destruction is wide. I mean, it's billions and billions and billions of people, and you're looking over there, and then you lock eyes with, like, your neighbor. Or maybe a good friend from high school. Someone you worked with for maybe 40 years somewhere, right? And they're looking at you as if to say, you got to do something. And you would realize there's nothing you could do. And maybe you would have feelings of regret that, man, I should have prayed way more. I should have invited to Christmas, to Easter. I should have grabbed those opportunities when I could have told that person what the Lord had done for me and how much the Lord loved him. But now, it's too late. You know, I am so convinced the Lord will spare us those awful thoughts and feelings on the last day. But I think you get the preacher's point, right? I mean, Jesus says, night is coming when no one can work. There is no place like home. Please, go home to your family and your friends and your neighbors and your co-workers. You can do it. And tell them what the Lord has done for you. Thank you for listening, for not falling asleep. God bless you. Amen.